Feel most welcome in the house of the Lord this morning. Thank you, Ben. You guys are such a blessing. You may take your seats. Isn't it amazing to be living in times like these? Eh? Who's excited to be alive in a time like this? Eh? Isn't it awesome to be alive? Some of us will get excited by the end of the message this morning. I trust the Lord, but it's amazing to be a son, as Sean said, a son in the house, a son in the kingdom of God, and a daughter in the kingdom of God. What a privilege. What an exciting time to be living in. But to go with that, it's also dark times. It's also very hectic times for some people. The world is, as Sean also mentioned, I don't know if you guys have been following the news about the earthquakes in Christchurch. I was watching just the highlights of some of the Super 14 games, or Super 15, now Super Rugby, and the cricket between Australia and New Zealand. And before these games started, there was this moment of silence just for the people that are killed in the earthquake. And it's just amazing. I always, I don't know about you guys, but I always think, you know, what are people thinking in these moments? So sometimes they call them 1 minute and then it's sort of 20 seconds or whatever. So they've probably decided, let's just call it a moment silence because it's never a minute long. But what do people think in these moments of silence? What are they really thinking about? Because it's so, for me, exciting. It's tragic when there's death and so on, but it's just exciting because people have the opportunity to look into the mirror and to realize what we're living in, what we're dealing with here. We're dealing with life and death. We're dealing with the reality that's all around us. And the earth seems to be really sort of getting ready to really receive Jesus again. But there's birth pains happening. There seems to be just a, you know, when it rains these days, it just seems like there's this hectic storm all the time. And when it rains, it pours. You know, there's earthquakes. It's really causing destruction. But the other day on our farm, we had such floods there in the Eastern Cape recently, and on our family farm, this one farm manager, not on our farm, but he was passing through our farm and he was driving, he came to this very deep river, and he had to stop and he decided, is he going to be able to make it through this river or not? So he stopped there and he got his little daughter to just get out and to sort of test the water just to see how deep it really was, just to sort of like walk and see, is he going to be able to make it through with his bucket? And just as she sort of got out and she started walking into the water, this massive wall of water, just obviously it had been raining very hectically high up, and this massive wall of water just came. And luckily, the bucket was obviously parked very close to where the water was sort of not at a high level. But when this massive rush of water came, he had to basically get out of his bucket. Luckily, his daughter didn't have anything happen to them. But the bucket got washed away so badly. And I've asked Tanya to put up a photo there. Okay, unfortunately, guys, you know, it's a bit, you won't see it, but I mean, the water is right up to that bucket was washed probably about 300 meters away from where it was, where that river went through. But just a hectic close shave. I mean, if they had been in that bucket, they would have definitely been killed. They wouldn't have made it. I mean, it rolled how many times. But you know, my brother sent this email and he sort of kind of joked at the top. He just said, this is how not to park a bucket. And when I opened this email, I asked, like, is this a joke or did this really happen? And my mother told me that this actually happened to this guy. But scary times, you know, of these floods on our farm, earthquakes happening all around, people being confronted with life and death and being confronted with where are they at in terms of eternity? Where are they going when they die? And that's the question that us as Christians have to ask ourselves in this time what is God saying to us right now? You know we're going to heaven. We know, well, I trust if you don't know you're going to heaven, yeah, there's an opportunity today to just make right with the Lord. But you know, we as Christians must ask ourselves, what is God saying to us in these times? What are the times symbolizing? What are the signs of the times that we're dealing with? And I don't know about you, maybe you've been asking the Lord, maybe you're wrestling with God at the moment to see exactly what He's saying. That's the best place you can be at. But I believe one of the things that God is saying to us, and I trust that we'll all open our hearts this morning to His Word, because I believe He's saying to us, there's a word here from Isaiah, which I'd like to share with us. So if you have got your Bible here, you can open your Bible, otherwise just sit next to a believer. I'm only joking, it's all on the PowerPoint. These days we're just so lucky, we don't have to bring our Bibles, it's all prepared for us by the pastor who does such hard work, preparing sermons and so on. Only joking, but there it is, Isaiah chapter 60 from verse 1. It says, yeah, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and His glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. Father, we thank you for your word this morning, God. We thank you that we can sit at your feet this morning and just receive your peace. Even, Lord, as we just now worshiped you and exalted your name in song, God, thank you that we can even worship you from the bottom of our hearts now as we just hear what you have to say to us this morning, God. Thank you that you are speaking to each one of us individually, Lord, but also as a church, God. Thank you that we come here not to hear man's opinion, Lord, but to hear your what's on your heart for us in this time, in Jesus' name. And we thank you that we don't have to fear, God. We thank you that you've caused the stirring in our hearts, Lord, of faith, to really see your kingdom come, Lord, in this time. In Jesus' name. Amen. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Amazing scripture. We often, you know, when I was in Stellenbosch, we used to always quote the scripture in intercession, and people would sort of psych each other up and say, you know, arise, you know, the time has come for us to shine, and it's true. But what is God really saying to us as believers? I don't know if you guys have ever driven at night, and a car comes from the front, and there's this, like, the guy hasn't got his lights on. And, you know, some of these cars, they just seem to have one light, so you can easily mistake it for a motorbike. You know, you could easily just pass thinking this motorbike's probably on right on the left-hand side of the road, and you can just pass, and meanwhile it's a car with just one light. And you think to yourself, this guy must just switch on his lights, you know. I don't know about him. Maybe he can see in the dark without his lights, but, you know, I can't. I need lights, and I want him to show me that he's coming, because I need to see light. I cannot just see a car the last minute, and maybe he's passing. So I think to myself, you know, the guy can just switch on his lights so that I can see him. It's not about him being able to see. Yes, he also needs to see, but maybe some people think they can just see in the dark, you know, without light. But it's not about him having to see. It's not about us necessarily having to see in the dark. It's about letting the other road users see us. That's why it's so important. That's what they say. Switch your lights on when you're going through fog. Switch your lights on when sort of it's dark. Because it's not about you necessarily. You might see very clearly. But it's about the other people being able to see you. And that's what I believe God is saying to us as a church now. It's time for us to arise, to shine, so that people can see us, that other people in this world can see where the light is. You see, God has a plan, and He says here that, first of all, His light has already risen upon us. That's such great news for all of us. Jesus Christ has already come, so the light has already risen upon us. But then He says in verse 2 here, He will continue to arise over us. It's quite a bit of a paradox, but I believe it's speaking about the salvation process that we're in, that we've been born again, but also there's a process of continuing where the light is shining brighter and brighter, where the light in us that has been birthed in us is continuing to shine as more and more people get to know the Lord, and as we ourselves as Christians grow into the knowledge of Jesus. So it's exciting times. So God is saying here, He's risen upon us, but He also will continue to rise in our lives and to rise over us as a church. But first of all, we need to understand where does this light truly come from? Where does this light come from? In John chapter 1, the Lord is clear here in His Word. And He says, in the beginning was the Word. John writing here in his first chapter. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. And here in verse 4, it says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. In Him was life, and that life, only that life, is light of men. And then in verse 9 again, that was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. There's a light that has been birthed, a light that has been given for us, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He has been given us that we can have light in our lives. And I'll never forget when Hester and I found out that we were pregnant. We went for our first, or she was pregnant, I wasn't pregnant. Sometimes we talk about us being pregnant, but anyway, she was pregnant, and we went to the gynae and did our first scan there, and there was this little, like, sort of peanut inside of her. He's now called Matthew. He's there at the back. That was, like, February last year, and there was this little heartbeat. You could see nothing else on the scan but just this little heartbeat, this amazing sign of life. You know, you could just hear it. It's so exciting, and you realize this is reality. This is not just, you know, a story that's been told. This is reality. Here is a little life inside of my wife. Amazing. Amazing to have that reality. And Philip is also going through it now. It's great to see Philip here. Can't believe he's actually here. Let's give him a hand. Just also experiencing being a dad, and just so such a blessing to see life happening all around us. Babies being born and so on. But when we experienced that heartbeat inside of Esther, it was just amazing to see that there's light, or there's life being birthed inside of her. And there's been a life given to us, a life birthed in us. And it's the same with us. When we are born again by the Holy Spirit, there's a seed planted in us. There's light that's been planted in us, the potential for such amazing stuff to happen through us. But there's a light that has been planted in us by the Holy Spirit. And only by that life of Jesus that's been planted in us, the seed, do we have light. Only by that life. Nothing else, our achievements, our successes, nothing of ourselves can let us shine light. Nothing. And isn't that amazing? That's good news for us. Because we don't have to try to shine this light. You see, we don't have to try to shine a light of our own. It's a light of Jesus. It's been planted in us. And we just have to allow Jesus to shine His light more and more in us and through us. So that sets us free from a lot of things, you see. Because here in John chapter 8, Jesus carries on. He says to His disciples, I am the light of the world. Jesus said many things about it. He is. I am the bread of life. I am the door. I am the shepherd, the great shepherd, all those things. One of the things He said here is, I am the light of the world. He who follows Me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Once again, He's saying, it's not only about that once-off process where we're born again, but it's a continuous process of following Jesus. That is the only way that our lights will continue to shine. And I remember a couple of years ago, we went for a hike in Stellenbosch, the family zone. We decided to just get away a bit and do some bonding. So we went up this mountain. We decided to do it sort of, at the evening when it started to get nighttime. And we had a picnic up there, and we were told to bring torches. And unfortunately, Mr. Kingwell decides he'll forget his torch. So it was quite a struggle for me on the way down, because I had to now follow, going down a mountain with rocks and so on, it's quite, you know, it could be quite a scary thing. But I had to follow someone else with a torch, because I didn't have a torch of my own. So I had to stick very closely next to someone who had it, or behind someone who had a torch. And I realized if I just get a little bit too far from this person, then I just suddenly can't see anymore. And they have to like turn around and shine the light all over and sort of trip over rocks themselves and everything. But I realized I had to stick right close to this person, because otherwise their light would only shine this far. And I believe it's the same for us when we follow Jesus. Jesus is on the move. That's what the scripture is saying. He's saying, He follows Me. In other words, it's not just about, you know, staying with Jesus in one place. It's about moving where He's moving. He says, He who follows Me will have the light of life. But if you don't, you'll walk in darkness. Same with what I experienced coming down that mountain. If I don't follow this person closely, then I'm going to walk in darkness and I'm going to wander off and miss the pathway. And often when we follow Jesus, and we get a bit far behind, we start to wander off because we're not hearing His voice anymore. We're not seeing the light. And we wander after our own desires. We wander and we sort of, you know, they say if you're wandering off, you'll always wander, you know. W-A-N-D-E-R and W-O-N-D-E-R. Have you ever thought about the difference? If you wander off the path, you'll always wander, you know. You'll wonder where you're going. So it speaks to me of presumption and faith. If we just going along our own desires, and we think we're following Jesus, we presume we are following Him, and we don't know that we're following Him, then we're walking in presumption, and we're walking actually in a scary place of darkness. But if we know that we're following this light, Jesus promises us, and He said, we'll have life, and we'll have light, we'll be able to see, we'll have abundance, we'll have all the blessings of the kingdom, if we follow Him, and we continue to be obedient to Him. Who of you guys were here with Marius' baptism last Sunday? There were only a few of us. But it was just amazing to see, you know, there was other people got baptized after Marius, but it was amazing. God just orchestrated for him to be baptized on his own. And if you guys don't know Marius, he's 50 plus, just coming to our church and really just experiencing God's fullness. And he decided he needs to be baptized. But just seeing Marius' face when he came out of that water, and those of you guys have been to a baptism, you always see just there's light in someone's face. There's light when they come out of that water because the lights have been switched on. It's amazing. But Marius was just testifying of what God has done in his life, and there were just tears, and he was just so overjoyed at just being obedient to the call of God in his life. And you see, that's the same light that shines when we're obedient, when we hear what God is saying, and we just follow Him, and we say, Lord, I know I must do this. And we come out of those waters of baptism, and we're just so full of light. We're so full of light because we've been obedient. Not because of the crowd that's cheering us on and all that. Yes, that's awesome. But the true shining that happens in someone's face is when there's an obedience to the following of Jesus Christ. I'm sure you guys are getting my point. So let's move on to the second point. Because now that we light from God, what happens? What does it really mean now that we've got light from God? Does it mean that we can have a great life, that we can just, you know, cruise through life and just praise the Lord, hallelujah.
Well, what does it really mean?
And yeah, in Matthew 5, the word is very clear. It says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. You can underline that. All who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Amazing scripture. Now, I don't know if you've seen lights on a high place. For example, if you go to Cape Town and at night you see those lights shining on Table Mountain, you can see those lights from a long way away. But the lights kind of on the low places. Now, yeah, in Pretoria, we've got quite a few little rolling hills. So the lights in the low places, you can't really see them from most places. You'll see the high places. You'll probably see them also not from everywhere. But if you go onto a very high, if you look to a very high place and there's a light shining, you see that light from everywhere. You see that light from all sides. And that is what the word is saying here, that us as Christians must be at a place where our light can be seen from all over. Our light can be seen everywhere where we move and where we go. And another story that when I started working for the first company, when I got my degree in engineering company, I worked there for a couple of months and I was just really starting to experience the Lord in such a powerful way. I slotted into shofar and I was going to a small group and I'd been baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. And I was working every day and, it wasn't like, I kind of felt at that time, this is not really what I've been called to do, but I'm doing this, really God has placed me here and I must make the most of this. But I was working every day and this one guy came and I heard by someone else, they asked this guy, but this Alistair guy, why? He's just always so happy. He's always just so full of joy. And, sometimes work's tough. God, this guy doesn't seem to have a bad day, And he actually spoke to me afterwards as well and asked me that same thing. And I just had an opportunity there to testify of the goodness of God. And this guy believed in all weird things, New Age and, worshipping the trees and all this stuff. But he was really a depressed guy, very bright, very intellectual, very clever. But just, you could see the lights there in his life weren't switched on. But he could see there was something different in my life. And I had an opportunity just to testify to him then, to say, there's only one light that can shine out of you. There's only one person that can give you joy every day, despite your circumstances, despite what you're going through. Because I also had some tough days, but it was just, I couldn't help it but shine this light of Jesus every day. Because it was such a joy to be alive. It was such a joy to be living. And to be even doing a job that I didn't feel fulfilled me completely, but a job that I was doing to glorify God. But you see, we must shine our light that every one of our colleagues, every one of us, our classmates, everyone around us, our family, can really see that we are the light of the world. Not because of us, but because there's a light in us. And therefore, as I said earlier, we don't need to shine the light of ourselves. We don't need to try to achieve and try to be successful for ourselves. Or to try and shine a light of our own achievements, but to shine the light of Jesus that has birthed in us a life that is amazing to be living. Are you guys getting excited this morning? You see, yeah, he also says something very profound here, Jesus. He says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Say to someone next to you that they may see your good works. You see, I believe that we must pursue good works. We must pursue excellence. We must pursue influence. We must pursue achievements in life. Not to build a great CV. Not to even please God sometimes. We must produce good works by the birth of the Holy Spirit in us so that we can shine and the people around us can see this guy is excellent because God lives in him. This guy is a CEO because God lives in him. This guy is not loving money because God lives in him. Jesus is his source. So I believe that sometimes we, as Christians, we don't want to sort of be out there in the limelight. We don't want to be out there on the sports field. Because, maybe the challenges, as Sean testified of now, the challenges of life are great, but God wants us, once we've established this in our lives, that we are born of God. We are born of the Holy Spirit. There's a light that's been birthed in us that God wants us to shine. The only way we're going to shine it is by being out there in the world, by being influential, being a manager, being a CEO of a company. So I want to encourage you guys that are studying still, pursue a career, but pursue it for God. Don't pursue it for a CV to try and, get up the corporate ladder. It's for influence. It's to shine the light that they may see our good works. People around there need to see good works, that they can glorify God. So I want to encourage us. Let's stop doing good works also to try to earn ourselves a place in heaven, to try to earn ourselves favor with God. God's favor is already on us. That's the good news this morning. The light is in us. We cannot earn anything more from God. But it's now about being obedient, saying, God, where do you want to use me? Where do you want to use me to shine this light? Where do you want to use me to be successful? Like guys like A.B. de Villiers on the cricket field, Christians that are shining the light for Jesus and testifying of His goodness. But then it's important for us to realize that when we get out there in the world, there's going to be pressure, as Sean spoke about this morning. There's going to be financial pressure. There's going to be a lot of pressure to conform. But you see, we need to realize that we are the light of the world. Philippians 2:14, carrying on with the same theme. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Amazing. The scripture again talks about light in the world, being this light in the world. And does this mean we have to be perfect? It's quite a challenging scripture, and we'll get into it a bit later. It doesn't mean we have to be perfect. It just means that we must live a life pleasing to God, that we can shine in this dark world. And then 1 Peter 2, verse 9 to 12. The last scripture now on this point of being light in the world. But you are a chosen generation. Say to someone next to you, you are a chosen generation. And then say to someone on the other side, you're a royal priesthood. You are part of a holy nation. And lastly, you are God's own special person. This should be good news. We should get excited here this morning. We are a holy nation. We are a special people. We are chosen. We are royal. God sees us as kings and priests together with Him. Isn't it amazing? What did He say? Someone's going to say amen here this morning. That you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. This is such amazing news. Memorize the scripture. Put it up. Because why? You were once not a people, but you're now a people of God. What? You had not obtained mercy, but now you've obtained this amazing mercy from Jesus. And then he goes on and says, beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, meaning that we're just moving through this life. We're not fixed to this earth. Please, he says, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, and once again, the same theme, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. An amazing scripture, once again, just confirming to us, in case the others didn't get into our heads, that we are amongst the dark world and God wants us to shine as light in the world. Amazing. But now, what I really want to get to this morning, now that we've established that we have light from God, that we can shine our lights into the world, why don't we always shine these lights in the world? Why don't we always seem to be making as big a difference as God really wants us to. What is preventing us sometimes from even just receiving this great light that God is giving us and then just giving it out? What prevents us? And it's amazing, the Lord just reveals stuff when you look at a theme and you're going to preach about light, then just so many scriptures start to make sense about, you know, and then God builds a theme for us that we can really look at. And I've got six things listed here that, why does our light fade sometimes? Why do sometimes we just seem to be fading a little bit and we're not really, you know, drawing people in by the light that's in us? And I believe there's many more, but I've got six things here that the scripture is quite clear about, that why our light sometimes fades. First of all, Philippians 2 verse 4, we read it, do all things without complaining and disputing. Now that's a big one for us. Always want to say, I'll say, us who always want to, you know, be right, and if something doesn't go according to our way, then we start to complain, we start to murmur, we start to dispute. And this is one of the things God says, are you the same as everyone else out there? Do you also just complain when things go wrong? Do you also just murmur and dispute and always in arguments, trying to, you know, have your own way? Or are you different from the people out there? And that's a big thing for us, because if we really want to see the power of God manifest through us, it's time for us to clear our mouths. And I know CS, I think, did speak about it last week, and I believe it's just something that God wants to challenge us with, is the fruit of our lips. What do we speak? Do we complain? Do we, you know, murmur about things, or do we proclaim? There's the saying that goes, don't complain, proclaim. Instead of complaining, proclaim. So when times are tough, what are we going to do? Are we going to complain, or are we going to start to praise God and proclaim the great life that He's given us? Proclaim the salvation over our lives. Proclaim that we have healing, deliverance, everything. Salvation in Him. Or are we going to complain about things that aren't according to what we would like them to be? And God is really testing us here. And I believe that He wants us to become blameless and harmless in the midst of a crooked generation who are always complaining. Things are never right. But for us as Christians, we have got a perfect life. We are not perfect people, but we've got the perfect life because we know the perfect Creator and the perfect person in Jesus Christ. So we know Him, and we just need to come to Him. And yes, you can complain before God. But it says here, do all things without complaining. So go and complain in your quiet time and say, Lord, what's happening here? Show me how must I react? But when we go out there, we do things without complaining. If someone asks you to do a job and you just don't want to do this, but you know you've got to submit to your boss, then do it with a smile on your face. Don't complain about it and just be all sour about it and do it kind of, yeah, just to sort of, you know, get it done with. Do it with a joy. Do everything. It says here, all things. For me, it's a big challenge. Because I often ask my wife, I can complain about a few things sometimes. So we need to challenge ourselves here and say, are we going to be complaining or are we going to be proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ? Secondly, fleshly lusts. 1 Peter 2 verse 11, we read it earlier again. Beloved, I beg you abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul. This is a big thing. This steals our intimacy with God. Sorry about this thing. This steals our intimacy with God. It steals our you know, the quality time that we can have with God when we've got these all sorts of lusts warring against our soul, bringing us into confusion, bringing us into such a place where we are just sort of confused and down. And sometimes it will bring us a fleeting joy to follow these fleshly lusts, but afterwards it just makes us feel so down, and that causes our light to fade. It causes our light to go dim and dim, and then eventually just to completely go out. So what is Peter writing here? He says, beloved, I beg you, you're only passing through this life. Don't look at the things that the world has to offer, fleshly lust, and think that this is going to fulfill you. Only Jesus is going to fulfill you, because you are supposed to shine the light. You're not supposed to be like the world. And I'll never forget in res, I was in first year in Helswerchter in Stellenbosch, one of the reses, and one of the traditions on the floor, I was on the fourth floor, one of the traditions was that we had to, at the end of our first year, there was this like drinking party. They would soak fruit and stuff in this punch that they made with all strong alcohol, wine, beer, everything just mixed together to form this terrible punch with fruit soaked in it for 3 days before this Friday night that we're going to have now, this great party on this floor. And I just, and obviously as first years, you were forced to drink. You had to drink this stuff, you know. And I just knew that I'm going to have to make a decision here. I cannot drink a little bit and then stop. I must decide at the beginning, I'm not going to be part of this. I'll sit there and drink water, but I'm not going to drink this fruit punch that these guys have made. And it was a challenge for me because now there's pressure. Everyone is doing it. Everyone's excited to just, you know, have a good time and stuff. And I just knew that this is not going to lead to a good time. This is going to lead to some very sick people and some very, you know, headaches the next morning and all sorts of bad things. And I had to make a decision right then and say, I'm not doing this. And the seniors, obviously, there's a lot of pressure, but in the end, they just realized that a lot of the guys were sort of proclaimed Christians. They were sort of, you know, say they go to church and all that stuff. But they could see that I made a decision to stand on what I believed in, to stand on the morals that I've been brought up with, it, and to stand on the word, you know, on the word of God, and to stand on my convictions. And I just decided I'm not going to drink. Because I could see my roommate, he was very sick that night. He had to, because, you know, they played games, and when you make a mistake, you're down a thing of punch, and this poor guy had done quite a few things because he was like the clown of the floor, and they used to always, you know, rip him off and everything, and it was just terrible to see what a decision, what difference there was in the two decisions. He decided he's going to go for it and drink, or he didn't really have, he thought he didn't have a choice, and I just decided I've got a choice. I'm not going to drink. And fortunately, it was a testimony as well for people. It's a testimony, and I'm not saying I'm great or anything. I'm just so glad the Lord placed on my heart not to drink that night. And sometimes we're going to come into challenging situations where we're going to have to stand up despite the pressures, despite what the world offers and all these lusts that we can go after. We're going to have to make choices as Christians and say, we are not going here. And it's not about condemning the other people, but it's just shining a light for Jesus and saying, I'm not going to go after fleshly lust. I'm not going to go after drinking and all this other stuff. And maybe you guys have made that decision already. Great. But I'm saying sometimes when we're in a situation where we're in the world and we are challenged by the system of the world, same with financially, like Sean was speaking about, we're going to have to stand up and say, this is where it stops. This is the light that I'm shining for Jesus, because then we will shine amongst this dark generation. Thirdly, critical eyes, another one, a big one. The lamp of the body is the eye, Luke 11. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body is also full of light. But when your eye is bad, your whole body is full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light, as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light. A long scripture, but what it's saying here is that our eyes and what we perceive and how we see situations can really determine our attitudes, and it can even determine the complaining and the disputing that sometimes comes up to us. So I want to ask you this morning, do you always see what's wrong? Or do you first of all see what's good and what's positive? And for many of us, this is a challenge. Some of us have been wired that we problem solvers, so we'll see the problem and we just want to find the solution. But we have to challenge ourselves and say, do we still, even though we always want to see the problem and find solutions, do we also always find the good stuff? Do we also always find the positive first and see that instead of seeing the negative, instead of seeing the problems, the challenges? So I want to ask you, how do you perceive your situation? How do you perceive everyday life? Do we always perceive it as negative? Because that is going to cause our eyes to become dark and just our whole body will be full of darkness. That's what the scripture says. But when our eyes start to see light, then our whole body becomes so bright we shine like a lamp. Isn't it great news for us? So it's time for us to train our eyes to see what God sees. Ask the Lord, Lord, this is a challenging situation, but what do you see in it? Where's the positive in this? Where can I just, you know, see life? Or do I always just see the negative? Do I just see the things that need improvement or the mistakes? And some of us really have critical eyes, and it leads to speak death. It leads us to start complaining and go after all sorts of things that God doesn't want us to focus on. So let's really be sensitive and say, Lord, show me that my eye can really be not critical and full of light instead of being full of darkness. And then fourthly, Romans 13 verse 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. I know there's a lot of scripture, but I really believe God wants us to see that there are things that are holding us back from shining the light. And one of these is this works of darkness, referring to just secret sins of our hearts that we need to cast off. Paul says here, do not continue with it. Cast it off and let us put on the armor of light. It's like a command. It's an urgent thing to do. Because these works of darkness in our lives prevent us from shining the light. And that's why we need to confess it. And there's an opportunity this morning for whatever is holding you back, whatever is keeping you in the darkness, keeping you in this frustration in your soul, cast it off this morning. There's an opportunity here to really lay it before the cross and to say, Lord, I know this is what is holding me back, and I choose to lay it off, and there's nothing that God cannot do this morning. That's the good news. So let us cast off these works and put on the armor of light. Fifthly, 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship is righteousness with darkness, with lawlessness, and what communion is light with darkness? Now this is talking a very contentious scripture sometimes, but it's talking here specifically about romantic relationships and where we're in covenant with someone else who's unequally yoked to us. So I want to say, if you're a lady and you're pursuing a guy who's not saved, he's not born again, and you're on fire for the Lord, don't go there. It's a work. The enemy will tempt you into going into that relationship, thinking that you can get the guy saved. And by all means, bring people in. Bring people of the opposite sex in. But just don't go and date them. Don't go and pursue a covenant relationship with them where it will pull you down. It will pull you down. The scripture is very clear. Unequally yoked. And even if it's someone who's not on the, you know, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit and this person doesn't agree with being baptized or being filled with the Holy Spirit, you cannot pursue that relationship until that person has come to the same level as you. And I'm not, it sounds bad, all these levels and stuff. Some people think the foundations are like different levels. You know, then Stellenbosch, they were like saying F1, then you're at a certain level, and F2, you're at the next level, and you get to F5, you know, then you're at this level. It's not about that. It's just about being equally yoked with other people, being on the same spiritual focus. And I've seen many relationships in Shofar and in my walk with the Lord, I've seen just relationships where the one is just not on the same page in terms of just basic doctrines that we must agree on. And it kills, that relationship is just not blessed because this person is trying to convert this person and trying to get them to the same level, and the other person is trying to pull the other one down and say, no, this is what I believe, you must run with me. And it's just, it causes such darkness in that relationship. God wants us to pursue equally yoked relationships. But by all means, get out there, into the people in darkness, bring them into the light. But what I'm saying is don't pursue covenant where you're really on the way to marriage, on the way to a very deep relationship. Pursue relationships where someone is equally yoked with you and where you're both serving the purposes of God. And I'm just so blessed to have a wife who's also just so on fire for the Lord. When I met her, I could just see there was something different about this woman. And I could just see this is the person that God has intended for me. And it wasn't even a struggle. It just happened. So you guys, you young people that are pursuing relationships still and finding out, guys, girls, who's the right one? This is a golden rule. Don't pursue someone. Just bring them into church. Introduce them to another guy. If it's a girl and you bring a guy in, get them connected with other guys. If it's a guy bringing a girl in, get them connected with other ladies. Let them walk the path of the person. But you don't pursue this relationship because it's going to lead to dating and you're going to go out and it's going to dim your light if you pursue this relationship. Amen. Lastly, lack of love. 1 John 2 verse 9 and 10. This is a big one. He who says he's in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light and there is no cause for stumbling in him. Amazing, yeah. Talking not about, now sometimes we think this hating our brother and sister is like we really hate them. But it's not hating, it's just where there's contentions between us, where we cannot just come to a place of just where we, you know, where we at peace with one another. We don't have to love the other person and spend every day with the person. You're not gonna, you know, have great relationships with every single person in church. But it's a place where we at least just sort out the issues, that we don't have to sit on the one side of church and the other person has to sit on the other side and we don't want to see each other. You know, how is the light shining in that situation? So it doesn't talk about like hating as in like enemies. It just talks about let's sort out the challenges and the issues we have amongst each other. And I believe it's also family members. I believe God is serious here about family members. And sometimes your family might reject you totally. But as long as you're at the place where you don't have an issue and a problem every time you go and visit your family and then there's challenges about the church and all the doctrines and stuff, just come to a place of peace with your family, your blood family, and then also in church where we can just really love one another and pursue God's purpose together. And you might not, as I said, you might not get on with every single person in church, but let us not get to a point where there's contentions, there's division, people are at loggerheads with one another on stupid things. God really wants us just to come to a place of freedom with one another that we can focus on others out there. We can bring the other people in. But if other people come in here and they see there's all sorts of contentions and we fighting with one another, how are they going to come to the light? And God really wants us to be a church full of light where there's freedom in relationships. And I believe God is talking here through John, who is a very relational guy, about relationships, about real relationships with one another. And God says, how can we begin to love the world? How can we start to love the people out there when we can't even love and just be at peace with our fellow brothers and sisters? So challenging stuff for some of us, yeah, but I really believe God wants to speak to us this morning. And maybe there's some of these things that you need to lay before the Lord this morning, then do it. Feel free just to come and say, Lord, start this process of healing in my life. Start this process of cleansing that I can shine a light. Because you see, yeah, my last point, the amazing thing is, anything is possible for God. All things are possible. It says here in 1 John 5, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Say to someone next to you, whatever is born of God. So anything in your life that's keeping you back can be overcome because you are born of God. That is the great thing. You are born of God. You can overcome the challenges. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. The only way we can truly receive deliverance and salvation and healing is when we place our complete trust and our faith in the finished work of the cross. That is the only way. And the good news is this morning we can do it again. We don't have to say, yeah, we've done it, we're saved now. We come and place our faith again and say, Lord, deliver me of this stuff. Lord, cleanse the darkness out of me, Lord, because I need you every day. I need to place my complete trust in you. And it's a place where we just say, Lord, I cannot do this. I cannot shine this light on my own. I cannot do this on my own, Lord. I need you so desperately. And I need you to cleanse me of any striving, any performance that prevents me from shining the light because it's putting a heavy burden on me. And that is like a lamp, like a cover over a lamp that's just darkening that lamp. If we don't allow these things and we don't place our faith and say, whatever is born of God, I'm born of God, therefore I can overcome the things of the world. I can overcome this lack of love. I can overcome being unequally yoked. I can overcome any works of darkness in my life. I can overcome having critical eyes. I can overcome the fleshly lust. I can overcome complaining and disputing and the fruit of my lips, the bad fruit. I can overcome that because I'm born of God. So that's the one thing. How do we shine His glory? First of all, faith in Jesus. Faith in Jesus Christ. And maybe today, you're sitting here and you've never come to that point where you've been born again, where you've made that decision to follow Jesus. Then today is your opportunity. Today is the day of salvation. Don't wait any longer. Come to this place where you can follow the Lord with everything you have, where you can shine a light and experience the fullness of joy. Then secondly, apart from placing our full trust and faith in Jesus, secondly, fellowship with His saints. As I said earlier, the whole thing of accountability, the whole thing of being in fellowship with one another. Because listen to this, if we say that we have fellowship with Him, that's the Lord, and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. It actually says here that if we walk in the light, we can have fellowship. And it also, I believe it's also saying, if we have fellowship, it will help us to continue to walk in the light. It's like a two-way thing. So start to walk in the light and confess your sins and get saved. Come to the Lord Jesus. And after that, walk in fellowship with other people. We cannot run this race on our own, people. We have to realize this. We cannot be lone rangers. We cannot be people just trying to change the world on our own. That's why God has created this church and many other churches, because He wants us to do it as a team. He wants us to do it together. So have fellowship with other believers. And I'll never forget, you know, my two best friends, they're still my two best friends today. They know, one's in Cape Town, one's in London. But these two guys were sent into my life at a time when I really needed just to grow in the Lord and realize that I need to, because I can also be very individualistic and do my own thing. And I was, you know, I'm still a runner, but I used to be quite a serious runner. And running is not a team sport. It's you on your own, you're on your mission, and you just want to beat everyone, you know. So it's easy to think, yeah, I'm on this mission, I'm a runner, you know, I'll do this myself. And God had to start a work in my life to say, it's a team effort. You need to know that you are not going to change the world on your own. You need people around you, and you're actually going to be the least. You're going to encourage others to change the world, which is what I'm doing this morning. But I'm not going to change the world, you guys are going to change the world. Are you guys excited? Are you ready? But what I want to say is I had these two best friends, and we used to drive to work together. Our company moved from the University of Stellenbosch out to Atlantis on the West Coast, and we weren't keen to go live out in Atlantis, so we stayed in Stellenbosch. We drove 65 k's there and 65 k's back every day on this very narrow road with trucks, and it was just the grace of God that no people in that company ever got killed or were in an accident. Just a blessing. But we used to encourage each other and challenge each other on the way to work. We used to mold each other and shape each other into the likeness of Christ. Because there was one guy who was very straight on the line, kind of, you know, no nonsense, turn or burn kind of guy, you know, right or wrong. You know, the other guy was also very much more relational and let's just, you know, talk about these things. But you know, the two guys in my life were just sent to help me to focus on Jesus every day. And we used to pray together. We used to really just be excited about what God's going to do every day in that company. And it was just such a blessing, you know, just being in that fellowship. And these guys were in my small group, and eventually the small group multiplied, and they both became cell leaders and everything. But it was just so amazing to see this fellowship and to be able to say to someone, listen, you know, let's just pray about this. I'm struggling with this. And I could be open with them. But it took time, you see. It took time to build good covenant, what I call kingdom friendships. Because we didn't just talk about, you know, the weather and sport and all that stuff. We talked about, you know, where are you with, are you experiencing a quiet time? Are you experiencing God? What's God saying to you at the moment? We used to challenge one another to grow and to really experience the Lord. And I want to encourage us, if you guys aren't in a small group, get into a small group where you can start to build this. It's not just going to happen. But get into a small group where you can start have accountability relationships, have friendships with one or two people. I want to encourage you, don't just have one person. Have a couple of people that are different personalities. Some people will just always talk about your good stuff and they'll never challenge you. So have someone who can be like this other friend. He was straight on the line. And I used to, you know, when he was in London, we went on holiday the other day, last year or 2 years ago. I could actually still say to him, listen, yeah, I can see this and this in your life. Just, you know, make sure you check this. And he could say the same back to me. And we hadn't even seen each other for years, probably 2 years. But we could speak into each other's lives, into our marriages. But just that openness, there was no offense taken. We were honest with each other about where we were at. So I want to encourage you guys, if we walk in the light with someone, God will cleanse us. Jesus cleanses us from all sin. But if we keep it in the darkness, then that's exactly where the devil wants us. Lone rangers out there doing our own thing. God wants us to walk in fellowship with His saints. And He's trying to tell us something here. He's trying to say that He is such a relational God. He wants us to experience the love that we have for one another. That's the real manifestation of His love amongst His fellow believers. And He says, and He's clear in John, I don't know where the chapter is, but He says, I think it's chapter 16, verse 13, He says, people will know that we're His disciples by the love we have for one another, by the love that we have for the saints. And that's what people out there want. People in the world want covenant relationships, but they're trying to find it in all sorts of other things. So let's present that to the world. Let's really have fellowship with one another, that we can say, come to my small group. We have got these great relationships in the small group. Come and join us, because then we can trust the Lord. For openness, we can trust the Lord that everyone would come into that place of covenant friendships. And then lastly, I'm almost done. Acts chapter 26. Apostle Paul, writing here about, or basically just testifying about the amazing encounter that he had. And he's standing here before King Agrippa, and I don't want to read the whole thing, but go and read Acts chapter 26 from the beginning. And he testifies here before King Agrippa, and he says, "Oh King, at midday along the road, I saw this light from heaven." Now he's telling his testimony here. And he's saying, "It was brighter than the sun. It was shining around me and those who journeyed with me." And he carries on to tell his testimony. And then he goes on in verse 17 and he says, this is what this amazing man, who obviously was Jesus, said to me. He said, "Paul, I will deliver you from the Jewish people. This is what I want you to do, Paul. I want you to go to the Gentiles, to whom I now send you. But I will deliver you from both of them. But I want you to go and open their eyes, Paul. I want you to go and turn them from darkness to light, Paul. I want you to turn them from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by me. Paul, I want you to go out and to preach the good news and to preach about this light that has hit you so hard." Because this light was so bright, it hit Paul off his so-called high horse. It just knocked him off all the persecuting that he was doing. It just completely knocked him, changed his life. And we have the New Testament because of that, mostly because of that encounter that Paul had. Amazing, amazing time. But you see, it's the same. It ties in with what it said at the beginning, where we're going to stand before kings, or kings will come to the brightness of our light, to the brightness of our rising. Gentiles and kings will come. And yeah, Paul stood before a king, and maybe not all of us will stand before such influential people. Maybe not all of us will stand before big CEOs and, you know, the president even. But we all have the opportunity to witness every day. We all have the opportunity, like the Apostle Paul, just to testify of the goodness of this light in our lives. We have the opportunity to stand before whoever God wants to destined to stand before us, and we must take the good news to these people and say, God wants to change your life. God wants to do something. And then you can preach the gospel and say, there's forgiveness of sins. You don't have to live in darkness anymore. Paul, I want you to tell these people, this is why this light shone on me. And I want you to tell me I want you to tell the world that there's forgiveness of sins. There's an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in you. There's a fullness that I want everyone to experience. There's an abundant life that I want everyone to experience. And Paul, you are going to do that. And it's the same for us. I believe one of the ways we're going to shine His light is just by witnessing. And many times your life will speak. Your life will, people will be drawn to your life and see there's something different about you. But you see, if we just stay there, then how are they going to know what is different? We've got to witness and say that there's salvation in Jesus Christ. There's forgiveness. Everything you need to live, it's in Jesus Christ. Just come. And then you can bring the people to church. And that's why we have all these foundations and Bible school. We don't have to disciple people, you know, by ourselves. We just bring them into where God is doing an amazing thing. And we just invite them to the foundation. Invite them to small group. Invite them to everything that we have to help them to grow. That's why we have all the stuff. It's simply because of this that we can give them the good news. And those guys who did Foundation 3 this weekend, or the NEO did F3, this week, they're busy, that's right. But lives are being changed there because there's an opportunity just to lay aside all the relational breakdowns and all the stuff that our legacy has brought down upon us, and we can have a great legacy when we go. And when we do the liberty, we get free from all this stuff. But you see, this morning even, there's an opportunity just to really say, Lord, there's still stuff holding me back. There's still stuff preventing me from being a witness. There's still stuff preventing me from even having fellowship. And there's so much stuff that the devil can lay upon us. But this morning is an opportunity again that we can really have freedom. So I just want the band to come up this morning. Thanks, Warren and the guys. And I really believe God has spoken to all of us this morning. I really believe, you know, that this is the word that God has laid on my heart. And I believe He's saying that to us, that it's time really for us, like it says in Isaiah chapter 60, that we must arise and shine for our light has come. Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and His glory will be seen upon you. Father, we thank you for your word this morning, Lord. Thank you that your word is so powerful, God. It's sharper than a two-edged sword, Lord. It cuts between soul and spirit, Lord, between bone and marrow. Lord, even the small parts of us that are still confused, Lord, even those deep parts which are, Lord, which are not exposed to your light yet, God, I thank you that your light is so bright, God. Nothing can prevent your light from shining, God. And we just thank you that we can even have joy, God, as we see, as we lift up our eyes, God, and even see the people already coming to us, God. People coming from afar, Lord. Our sons and our daughters, God. People that should be in this church, God, starting to come, God. We want to lift up our eyes and see the harvest that is ready, God. And thank you that our joy can only be full, God, when we give out, Lord. And we want to even make a commitment this morning, Lord, just to give out that light, Lord, to shine that light, God, not to hold it for ourselves, Lord. But we thank you, God, that we can also, even right now, just look into our hearts, Lord. Just be honest with those things that are preventing us, God, from shining the light, Lord. Those things that are preventing us even from stepping out and witnessing, God. That fear which holds us back, Lord. The lusts of the flesh, God. Just the critical eye where we just see negativity, Lord. We want to bring these things before you this morning, God. We have an opportunity right now. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are speaking to every heart right now, Lord. Every single person, Lord. That not one is, Lord, being passed by, Lord. Every person is special in this hall this morning, God. Every person is so special to you, Lord. And therefore, you're not passing them by this morning. You're saying that I love you, my son and my daughter. I want to touch you this morning. And I really believe God said this morning to me that He wants to touch people here this morning. That's what I believe He wants to do. So, I believe we also have to be honest and just surrender to the Lord this morning. So, I'm just going to call her. Let's all just stand together this morning. And really just be honest with where we're at with the Lord. Because I'm going to call out these six things. And I just want you to just put up your hand just to be honest. Can I have all eyes closed, please? No one looking around right now. Because I really want God to deal in our heart. I'm not going to call you forward. If you want prayer afterwards, you're welcome to come. But I'm just going to mention these six things. And I want to just pray with you and extend my faith out to you that God will do an amazing thing in your life. That He'll, maybe He will just touch your tongue that you can speak life, or touch your eyes that you will see what He sees. But whatever it is, you just bring it before the Lord. So the first thing I want to say, maybe some of you are struggling, you're always complaining, you're always disputing, you're always just speaking death. And I want you to just be honest and say, Lord, here I am. Just put up your hand and say, God, I need you to touch my mouth this morning. Just my attitude, Lord, my mind. I need you to touch my mind this morning. So just be honest. Thank you for all those hands. Just keep your hands raised. Lord, I thank you that every person right now that's surrendering to you, God, will be touched by you right now in this area, God, that you will put like Isaiah, God, you put a fire of coal on his lips, God, that you would just say, Lord, send me. I want to go. I don't want to complain and hold back, Lord. I want to go, God. I want to go and I want to cleanse my mouth this morning, God. So I give my mouth to you. So just in your own words, just say, Lord, I give you my mouth, Lord. I give you my attitude. I give you those things that always make me complain and dispute and try to figure things out myself. Lord, I thank you that you'll touch every mind here this morning. In Jesus' name. And every attitude, God, that will speak life, God. We will not complain, God, that you want us to become blameless and harmless, Lord, in the midst of this crooked generation. So thank you that after this morning we'll be different, Lord. In this week we'll be different. And we will speak life in Jesus' name. Thank you. You guys can put your hands down. Second group of people. If you're struggling with lust, if you're struggling with the lust of the flesh, and I just want to say, if you want to put up your hands for all six things, God bless you, because God will honor that this morning. If that's where you are, be honest with Him. If you're struggling with fleshly lust this morning, just surrender to God. Say, that's me, Lord. I want to let this thing go in my life. I let it go right now. So do it by faith. Lord, thank you for every hand that's up. Thank you that lust is broken right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you that we can have fullness of life, Lord, because you have given us life, God. Thank you that we can stand up, Lord, and not go after money, not go after anything the world presents to us, Lord. Lord, that porn and those movies that are just not supposed to be seen, God, I just cut that off now in Jesus' name. Those computers that are causing sin, Lord, we just say to them, Yeah, just whatever you have to do with those, your TV and your computer, you just ask God. If you've got to give it away for a while, do that. Lord, I thank you that you break the lust of the flesh right now. That we can have, we shine, can shine as lights in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Just surrender it to the Lord. Just say, I cannot do this on my own. I just give it to the Lord right now. And you will stop that lust in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Thirdly, the people who've got critical eyes. If any of you are just always seeing the faults instead of seeing the positives. God wants to give you eyes of light this morning. Lord, I thank you for every hand that's being honest with where you're at, God, that your light would shine in their eyes, God, that they would only see what you see, God, that they would so experience a joy in seeing this, Lord, not only the problems, God, but the solutions and seeing what you see, and not to be critical, Lord, not to have that dark, Lord, negative attitude as well. Just same with the mouth, God. So I pray you cleanse eyes here this morning, Lord, that you open eyes, God. Take away the darkness in Jesus' name. Thank you that it's done right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And then if you're struggling with maybe with any works of darkness, just any sins of the heart, just sins of your, just in the deepest of your heart that you maybe haven't even confessed before anyone. Just be honest with that this morning. Lord, thank you just for that. The secret sins, Lord, that no one else knows about, Lord, the works of darkness, Lord, that you want to cast off other people this morning. And I thank you, Lord, that you've done it in Jesus' name. Thank you that they will put on the works or the armor of light, Lord, the armor of light for that darkness. They will cast it off right now in Jesus' name. Thank you that it's done. It's complete. Jesus has come to set you free. Amen. And then lastly, or second last, sorry, maybe you're unequally yoked here this morning. Maybe you're in a relationship. Then God wants to show you exactly how you must pursue this relationship and how you must do this. Just be honest. Lord, I thank you for every person, God, that's being honest right now. Just by being unequally yoked, Lord, thank you that you don't condemn them for the mistakes of the past, Lord, but you give them freedom right here this morning. In Jesus' name. Thank you for freedom from that. And thank you for your wisdom as to how to pursue this relationship and how to, Lord, even if they have to break it off, that they will be able to have the strength to break it off. In Jesus' name. And lastly then, it's just a love for the saints and a love for our family. Maybe you've got family problems and you just cannot relate to your family. Just put up your hand and say, Lord, I don't know how to relate to my family. They're so against my belief. They're so against my, just where I'm at in my walk with you. But God knows and God loves you guys and He wants to change that. So Lord, I thank you right now that you will change all the challenges in families and just even in this church. Maybe there are people that are not getting on with one another. Lord, thank you for your unity in this church. God, thank you that we don't have to be best friends with everyone. But Lord, I pray for our hearts this morning that we will be free, God, to just see you move in our lives. Lord, that the light will shine on us this morning. And we just thank you for a love, Lord, for the people of God and for others out there, God. That how can we love others if we can't even love our own brothers and sisters and even our own family, Lord. And you know the challenges in families, Lord. You know how difficult it is. And they're the people that hurt us the most, Lord. But we give that to you this morning. We surrender, Lord. We surrender this in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And then lastly, I just want to, before I just miss the meeting, if we can just all continue to keep our eyes closed. And if you're a believer, just pray in the Spirit this morning. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you do not know that you know that you know that if you have to die or if you have to be washed down the river in a bucket and you die, that you will not be going to heaven. If you do not know that you will be going to heaven, if you know that you don't, or you're not sure, or maybe you've made a commitment a while ago, but you just need to come and make right with the Lord this morning. Just be honest with where you're at. And say, Alistair, all these other things, it's great that you're praying for them, but I need salvation because I can't even start this process of sorting things out with the Lord in my life. So if you need salvation this morning, if you need to just surrender to the Lord Jesus this morning, just be honest and say, Lord, that's me, God. I want you to come and touch me. Just be honest with me. Is there anyone like that? I don't want to prolong it, but maybe if there's just one person, the angels are going to rejoice because someone has come home. So is there anyone like that? Just the last call that you know that you know that you're not going, or you're unsure and you don't know, you don't have that assurance of salvation this morning. Just be honest with where you're at. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your love, God, for every person, God. So thank you, Lord, for this morning, God. Thank you for your word. Let's just sing together. Thanks for your guys' patience. I just want the band to sing us the last song. We're just going to experience the joy of the Lord, one last praise and worship song, and then you guys are free to go. But if you do need prayer, I really want to say, come forward. Maybe you need to bring something out in the light with someone else this morning. I want facilitators to please come forward to be ready for prayer. pray for people. But if you do need prayer this morning, just come during the worship. And God will really touch you. I believe He has touched many people this morning. But just come and even seal it in prayer and in faith with someone this morning. Okay, so over to you, Warren. Let's just experience God's goodness, because He's so good to us. He loves us so much. Amen. God, thank you that you're jealous for us this morning. You're so loving. We just worship you this morning, God. We give our lives over, God. There's nothing we can do to earn anything. We just want to follow you, Lord.